When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Curious Case of Ray Rivera, a plunge into the unexplained. From the chilling depths of the unexplained, where the ordinary shatters and logic struggles to find purchase, I welcome you. Tonight, on Whispers from the Dark, we journey to the bustling streets of Baltimore, Maryland, to unravel a mystery that continues to haunt investigators and armchair detectives alike. It's a story of a promising life cut short, a bewildering scene, and a pervasive question that lingers in the air like a phantom. What truly happened to Ray Rivera? The year was 2006, a time when the echoes of the digital age were just beginning to resonate. But the pervasive surveillance of today was still a distant concept. Ray Omar Rivera, a 32-year-old newlywed, an aspiring filmmaker, and a gifted writer, embodied the American dream in progress. He had recently moved with his wife, Allison, from the sun-drenched avenues of Los Angeles, California, to the historic charm of Baltimore, Maryland. He had taken a job as a videographer with Stansberry and Associates Investment Research, a financial publishing company, at the behest of his longtime friend, Porter Stansberry, the company's enigmatic founder. By all accounts, Ray was a happy, ambitious man, full of plans for the future. He and Allison had been married for 6 months, were actively making plans to move back to California to fully pursue his filmmaking dreams, and had even discussed the joyful prospect of starting a family. His life, by every external measure, seemed to be on a clear, upward trajectory, devoid of any discernible shadows. Then, on the evening of May 16th, 2006, the ordinary gave way to the inexplicable. Allison Rivera was out of town on a business trip, leaving a co-worker, Claudia, staying at their North Baltimore home. Around 6 p.m., Claudia heard Ray answer a phone call. His response was a simple, yet chilling, "Oh," delivered with an unusual abruptness, before he abruptly rushed out of the house. He left behind his wallet, credit cards, and most of his personal belongings, taking only his keys, cell phone, and a meager $20 in cash. And then Ray Rivera vanished, leaving behind a sudden silence and a growing sense of dread. For 6 agonizing days, his wife, family, and friends were plunged into a frantic, desperate search across Baltimore. Allison immediately cut short her business trip, driving back to Maryland, contacting hospitals, tirelessly circulating missing person flyers, and speaking to anyone who might have seen him. A missing person report was swiftly filed with the Baltimore Police Department, and loved ones flew in from across the country to aid in the increasingly desperate search. But there were no immediate clues, no reliable witnesses, just an unsettling, expanding void where Ray had been. The breakthrough, if it can be called that for the sheer horror it unveiled, came on May 24th, when Ray's in-laws, after days of exhaustive searching, located his black SUV in a parking lot near the historic Belvedere Hotel in downtown Baltimore's Mount Vernon neighborhood. The parking ticket confirmed the vehicle had been there since May 16th, the very day Ray disappeared, offering a chilling timestamp on his last known whereabouts. The discovery brought a flicker of hope, soon to be extinguished by a horrifying, unimaginable realization. 3 of Ray's co-workers from Stansberry and Associates, having joined the search efforts, decided to ascend the adjacent parking structure, systematically checking the area near the abandoned SUV. From the fifth floor, their gaze fell upon the roof of a lower annex of the Belvedere Hotel. What they saw sent a jolt of dread through them, a premonition of the tragedy below. Two large flip-flops, a cell phone, and a pair of glasses. These items were scattered near a gaping hole in the roof, approximately 40 inches, about 1 meter, in diameter. Overcome by a profound sense of foreboding, they immediately contacted the police, knowing deep down that something terrible had happened. When hotel concierge Gary Shivers opened the door to the conference room directly beneath the ominous hole, the unimaginable became a gruesome reality. Inside, investigators discovered Ray Rivera's severely decomposed body. The scene was gruesome, Ray's injuries extensive and catastrophic, consistent with a fall from an immense height. The news devastated Allison and Ray's family, plunging them into an abyss of grief. But their sorrow was quickly compounded by profound bafflement and disbelief when the Baltimore Police Department swiftly and controversially declared Ray Rivera's death a probable suicide. However, the circumstances surrounding Ray's death were anything but clear-cut, leading the medical examiner to ultimately and crucially classify the manner of death as undetermined. The sheer oddity of the scene starkly contradicted the simple, definitive conclusion of suicide. Homicide detective Mike Beyer, one of the first on the scene, immediately felt that the arrangement of Ray's belongings on the lower roof looked suspiciously staged. How could a cell phone be found functional and his glasses unscratched after what was presumed to be a 13-story fall onto a hard surface? The lack of significant blood splatter around the impact point, often expected in such falls, also raised questions among investigators and observers. The physical dynamics of the fall itself also defied conventional logic for a suicide jump from the Belvedere's main roof. The hotel has a distinct mansard roof, which angles sharply inward, creating a considerable horizontal distance, approximately 43 feet or 13 meters, between the edge of the main building and the lower annex roof where Ray landed. For Ray to have traveled such a horizontal distance while falling a vertical distance of around 177 feet, 57 meters, from the approximate 18th floor, the main roof height of 188 feet, he would have needed an astonishing horizontal speed of around 10 miles per hour, a fast sprint at the point of impact, a speed typically generated by a strong athletic individual performing a running jump. Yet, Ray was reportedly wearing flip-flops, or was possibly even barefoot, with a maximum run-up area of only about 15 feet. This calculation suggested an almost physically impossible trajectory for a simple jump, leaning into the realm of the truly inexplicable. Alternative theories regarding the precise point of origin for the fall were also rigorously explored. Could he have jumped from the adjacent multi-story parking garage? The horizontal distance from the garage to the hole was only about 20 feet, and the height was similar to the annex roof, making a jump from there potentially survivable, which directly contradicted the severity of his catastrophic injuries. What about a ledge on an upper floor of the Belvedere itself? The hotel also houses private condominiums and offices. However, accessing such a ledge would have required passing through private property, and the windows leading to these ledges were described as half windows that barely opened, making egress incredibly difficult, if not impossible, without forced entry. There were no witnesses placing Ray inside the hotel that night, nor were there any security camera sightings of him entering or moving through the building's main areas, stairwells, or common spaces. Crucially, the security cameras surveilling the staircases leading to the roof were found to have been mysteriously disconnected, or their footage erased on the night he died, a glaring red flag that screamed of possible tampering. Adding another layer to this already perplexing case was a bizarre note discovered by Alison Rivera, taped prominently behind his computer monitor in their home. The note, later analyzed by the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit, was a confusing, almost stream-of-consciousness mix of names of prominent Hollywood figures, such as Stanley Kubrick, various movie titles, including The Game, a David Fincher film notorious for a scene where a character jumps from a hotel roof through a glass ceiling as part of an elaborate, life-altering game, cryptic quotations related to Freemasonry, and other seemingly nonsensical ramblings. While some initially speculated it was a suicide note, the FBI's expert analysis concluded it was not suicidal in nature. Instead, their psychiatrists suggested the writer might suffer from a persecutory delusional disorder or bipolar disorder, though they also noted that such conditions could go undetected by loved ones, and that a definitive conclusion couldn't be reached without directly interviewing Ray. The note's peculiar content only deepened the enigma, leading to rampant speculation about secret societies, elaborate real-life games mirroring cinematic plots, or even an undiagnosed mental break that was utterly uncharacteristic of Ray's previously observed personality. The financial aspect of Ray's work at Stansberry and Associates also became a major focus of speculation and suspicion. The company published controversial financial newsletters, some of which advised subscribers who paid significant amounts for the information. In years past, the company had faced scrutiny from the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, for allegedly producing false or misleading leads, and even faced legal action. Alison Rivera questioned if Ray's death was somehow directly connected to his work, perhaps involving sensitive financial information or disgruntled clients. Moreover, the crucial 6 p.m. phone call Ray received just before he abruptly left his home was mysteriously traced back to the Agora Publishing Switchboard, Stansberry and Associates' parent company. Yet, no one from the offices ever came forward to admit making that call, or even to explain its nature, adding a profound layer of suspicion and unanswered questions to the critical timeline of Ray's disappearance. Porter Stansberry himself, a key figure, refused to cooperate fully with police and even issued a gag order to his employees, further fueling public distrust and theories of a cover-up. The handling of the crime scene also drew significant criticism from legal experts and the public. Reports emerged of evidence potentially being mishandled, with one officer reportedly using a flip-flop found at the scene as a makeshift projectile, rather than preserving it as crucial evidence. Accounts from hotel residents and catering staff suggested the conference room where Ray's body was found was not properly secured after his removal, with some individuals allegedly entering the area before a thorough forensic examination could be completed. This perceived lack of stringent scene preservation further complicated the investigation, potentially compromising crucial evidence, and fueled widespread theories of a cover-up or gross negligence on the part of law enforcement. Despite the Baltimore Police Department's persistent conclusion of probable suicide, Ray's family vehemently rejected the idea. They pointed to his vibrant plans for the future, his happy and stable marriage, and the complete absence of any prior signs of depression or mental distress that would suggest suicidal ideation. Allison also reported a strange and unsettling incident the night before Ray vanished. Their home alarm went off around 1 a.m., and she found a first-floor window tampered with, suggesting a possible attempted break-in. She firmly believed this incident was directly connected to his death, a premonition of the lurking danger. The case of Ray Rivera remains an open file with the Baltimore Police Department, his official cause of death stubbornly classified as undetermined. The sheer volume of unanswered questions, the impossible trajectory of the fall, the miraculously intact phone and glasses, the cryptic, non-suicidal note, the suspicious and unclaimed phone call, the uncooperative employer, the security camera anomalies, and the potentially compromised crime scene prevent any easy conclusion. Was it an extremely bizarre and improbable suicide, executed under highly unusual circumstances? Was it a tragic, freak accident, defying the laws of physics? Or, as many believe, was Ray Rivera the victim of a calculated murder? And if so, by whom and for what motive that remains buried in the shadows? The mystery of Ray Rivera continues to defy conventional explanation, echoing through the historic halls of the Belvedere Hotel and across the digital ether, a haunting testament to a promising life lost under truly baffling and unresolved circumstances. Thank you for joining me tonight on Whispers from the Dark. As we delve into these perplexing cases, we are reminded that some stories defy all attempts at a rational explanation, leaving us with only questions and the chilling possibility that the truth remains hidden in plain sight. Until next time, keep your minds open and listen closely to the whispers.